The Brad Sesmat Show, broadcasting live.
Thanks for being with us. We have Jordan Hamm coming up here shortly on all things around Letter of Intent Day and some stuff around both U of A and ASU football. Jordy knows all tells on the college platform. And then Ralph Amsden is going to be with us. Ralph, of course, with Arizona Varsity, does great work with George Reister as well. He'll tell you about that. We're going to talk about Dylan Raiola. Ralph moved from Arizona a couple of years ago, but he's still very relevant and well-regarded here in the state on the high school and college scene. He's still in touch. He flies out and stays in touch with people. But Dylan Raiola is in the middle of the national conversation today. Dylan Raiola, the quarterback at Georgia, who was here at Chandler, was here at Pinnacle, and he did commit to Ohio State, and now he's at Georgia, but he's talking about decommitting, going to Nebraska. There's NIL involved. Chubba Purdy, Valley quarterback, is there too. Does he leave? Is he running away from competition? No, he's not. If he does leave, it's the Raiolas are tied into Nebraska. It's not going to be a fair fight. It'll be a piece of spaghetti against a sword, in my opinion. So there's like these blocks. And I also want to talk with Ralph about the Hamilton head football coaching job and what he believes may happen there. Opening comments are brought to you by Desert Financial Credit Union. Desert Financial Credit Union, taking care of you, taking care of your business through the years. 30 of them. I realized that the other day, December 10th, 1993, was my first show in Arizona. Packed up, left San Diego, people like you're crazy. And through the years, Desert Financial, they've been here. Now I'm here 30 years, and we appreciate Desert Financial and their support. Yeah, 30 bleeping years, like four kids. Three of them were born here in Arizona. So it's reflective time. I might just go on a little tangent, a little rant. I might go on a side topic. I don't know, because I'm thinking. Like life goes, the Ferris Bueller deal. And when it's 30 years in the same place, it's okay, what's next? Like retirement? That sounds so boring. I'm not doing that. This is what I do. It's not who I am, but this is what I do. Like, so I like to put it. You know what's great about doing this is I could have told you yesterday, we could be sitting in a restaurant together. We could be sitting at Via Luna or Venezia's, I'll plug our partners, or any place, cracking a beer, cracking a cold one. And I'll say to you, you know, Giannis is going to score north of 60, but then he's not going to be sure he has the real ball. And then he's going to lose his mind and go ape bleep. And we're going to talk, the lead story in our country today in sports is Giannis. Giannis scoring 64. He scored 64, but a player for the other team got his first basket in the history of this young player's career. And so when the game ended, Giannis won the ball. Ball wasn't there. Giannis couldn't get his ball, and he went crazy. This is our business. This is – so what's is more valuable? What do you think is more valuable? And then Giannis gets a ball, but he doesn't think it's the real ball. I don't know. Somebody do a DNA test on it. Do you find his palm? Do you find sweat? What is it? I love that story. Just his last, I was watching the Suns game here in my office last night, and this whole deal was going on, and they were showing him and do it with a Halliburton and running into the tunnel and dun 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 drama. I'm getting people that are texting me about this even as we speak, and that's the lead story in our country. That's just. Oh my gosh. I can't read some of these. some of these are very funny. I have to turn my attention to, hey, dear crazy parent, okay? Dear crazy parent, I'm talking right at you today. Dear crazy parent, junior high, elementary school. I was so excited the other day. I got a letter from a daddy baller, his 8-year-old. Here's the tape, just so you know he's coming for recruiting roundup. You're nuts. Just so you know, tonight, Easton Stick. Well, who's Easton Stick? Is that a bat manufacturer? Easton Stick is the starting quarterback for the LA Chargers tonight. So Daddy Baller, when you're thinking about or telling your kid, you got to go to big brand, and I keep screaming Josh Allen and Trey Lance and Carson Wentz and, oh my gosh, Easton Stick. I can only imagine how the Open is going to go tonight with Al Michaels and Kirk Herbstreit. Like, they've got to just be sitting in their production meeting today in a boardroom. They're in their sweats. They're not in makeup. There's the producers. There's statisticians. There's all these people. And they're going through their production meeting of how they're going to present tonight's Titanic matchup. Of course, for me, when I see Antonio Pierce's name, I'm out. Easton Stick. There you go. So what is the attraction? Of course, it's gambling. That's it. That's the only reason. It is your fantasy team or gambling. How many people in their fantasy leagues went and picked up Easton Stick today? So that's going on. The Suns game last night, they're not going to be good right now. They're not. When you don't play together, I don't know what it takes to get across people's, oh, this team's terrible, this team's horrible, this team, they haven't played together. And it doesn't matter because it's December. You know, the idea that all of a sudden, just because you put big names out on the floor, or their point guard situation is still, in my opinion, a concern. You can be all the Suns are the greatest thing ever all day long. Yay, go Planet Orange and all that, going back to the day. Rise up, all those. But if you don't have a true point guard and you're trying to close a game out like Golden State the other night, that was an adventure. That's no other way to put it. That was an adventure. And then you play back-to-back, and then you throw in the fact that you have some players returning back to the Valley that probably have a little bit more to them, a little bit more juice. And, I don't know, you end up getting beat. And that's what happened. Well, they end up losing to Brooklyn last night. And if you're like, oh my gosh, you should just be going crazy. No, I'm not. I'm not. I'm calm on this thing. The Draymond Green story is really interesting to me. And we'll have Jordan Hamm here in a minute and then Ralph Amston. So Draymond Green has now been suspended indefinitely by the league. He's meeting with his agent and advisors today with the Warriors to start counseling. I'm not going to make fun of mental health. We do mental health here on the show. We're pretty wide open about it. I think it's one of our better qualities of things that we do. We do starting the conversation stories. They're hard. And when we first started doing them, I would get pushback. Why are you doing this? I just want to talk about the left tackle for the Cardinals. Now he didn't do his job. This is not that big of a deal. Your mental health is far more important. And as time has gone by, we've seen more and more people talk about it. So I'm not going to make fun of Draymond Green. I thought it was interesting that Kevin Durant last night talked about him getting Draymond getting help. I thought the way that it was presented by the NBA was pretty wide open in terms of when he's going to come back or not come back. The angle of it's time to have Steph Curry leave because Klay Thompson is a free agent at the end of the year, and this is the demise of the Warriors. Will Steve Kerr be back? And they already lost their in the front office. So the doom and gloom of December, and then let's get back to me in March and let's just see what things look like. Draymond Green can go take 2 months off, and it's no big deal. It's a big deal that he gets his mental health right. The Warriors could squeeze in as the last team in the playoffs and be just fine because they have a core. Just fine. Ohtani's being introduced as a Dodger today. I was at the Diamondbacks press conference on Tuesday when Ken Kendrick spoke afterwards. We put some of that up in Three Dot Thoughts. I talked with Ken, that was probably about a week and a half ago, just on stuff. And I think that the team staying in downtown for now, as Ken alluded to with the group of media, seems to make the most sense. I don't think it makes the most sense in the future of the Valley. Like, you guys tell me, does it make any sense at all if the Cardinals are in Glendale? Glendale on the west side will say, oh, what are you talking about? When I went to Philadelphia, and you can say all you want about Philadelphia, you want a well-planned out sporting community where they all play ball and they all play together and everything's centrally located. It's brilliant. It's great. I feel like here, the Diamondbacks being at the 101-202 in the big hole across from Sloan Park has been my preferred destination. I even think it was the preferred destination of some within the organization, but there's some issues over there. I don't think it's lost on anybody how they have the relationship with Talking Stick in Casino, Arizona. I don't think that's lost on anybody that there's already some political stuff there behind the scenes, but I'm hearing about access roads and inability to do that. And it may just be better to stay downtown. I was walking through the park, the ballpark the other day when I went to the Rodriguez press conference. And there was nobody there and it's all, you know, fields not and all put together. And they had the Billy Joel concert the other night. And I'm walking there and I'm like, you know, when I was in Philly, the ballpark feels a lot cleaner and newer than this one. This one's 26 years old. So, and I believe the Diamondbacks are still going to do some big things. You can allude to, Ken alluded to, it'll be the highest payroll on opening day in the history of the franchise. Well, I have to believe part of that will be Zach Gallen getting an extension. I have to believe part of that might be Merrill Kelly in his contract. So I'm not just, people are focused on just, it's going to go be JD Martinez. It's going to be Justin Turner. Solar, everybody's going down that path. I'm more looking at, I think that this owner is more into, I'm going to reward people that are here and build that are young rather than go the route that he went mistakenly, which was, hey, Madison Bumgarner, let's get you to a big contract. And then we can't get it out of here quick enough. Or Zach Greinke, you know, they've gone some different directions, obviously. But it was great to be around baseball. I can't wait for spring training. I really can't. There's a few stories in town that are interesting, like Kyler, these last four games, interesting. Have they already made up their minds? I have to believe they have. Monty and Gannon, okay, that story's interesting. But it doesn't hold water to me to the start of the baseball season. Doesn't. The Suns, okay, get back to me in early April. Bobby Hurley, what's going on at U of A being the number one team in the nation playing Purdue on Saturday? Those are interesting. Those are really interesting. GCU is really interesting to me. I think all three of the college programs. So Jordan Hamm, speaking of colleges next, things around ASU and U of A football, because there is a lot going on. And then Ralph Amsden. We're going to go deep with Ralph. Love chopping it up with Ralph. Ralph always makes me, it's that things that make you go, I always find myself tilting my head when I talk to Ralph Amsden. And I'm not falling asleep. He's just saying things that are like, well, that's really interesting. That's really smart. So we'll have that. That's straight ahead. So when was the last time you just dug around the house? You may be empty nesters like we are now, or you might be in that space in life where you have young ones. And when I say dig around the house, I'm talking about athletic shoes, athletic equipment, athletic apparel that was gently used by your kids when they're little squids running around as 5 and 6 year olds on the soccer field, basketball court, football, lacrosse, hockey, all sports. And now they're 12, they're 15. And you're like, yeah, one of these days I'm going to pick all this stuff up and I'm going to go donate it somewhere. And I would tell you to go to Goodwill, go to Goodwill. Goodwill, there's over 100 of them around the valley and in the northern part of Arizona. There's three right near me where I live. We have been cleaning out stuff with four kids that are now out of the house. It's amazing. You just find another box or you find another bag. And yeah, it's primarily athletic equipment, but there's clothes too that just don't fit them anymore. And I'm not going to go out in the front yard and have a garage sale once a year. That's not me. So I'm going to go down to Goodwill. I'm going to donate it. They're going to give me a receipt. It's very simple. Think Goodwill. Jordan Hamm joins us for a couple of minutes. Wanted to have Jordy on for a number of reasons. First of all, he's got great insight on what's going on with ASU. He has great insight what's going on with U of A as football for the bowl season for the Cats gets going. But more importantly, it's just good to see you. Just good to see you. We can take a breath for a minute in this holiday season. All right, letter of intent day is next week. What do you make out of Arizona? Let's start with Arizona's class and where it sits right now. Because I haven't heard much on the portal out of them. Haven't heard much on the recruit. What's U of A's class look like?
So I think one of the reasons is not hearing much on the portal is they've kind of done the work the past couple of years, and they added a couple guys, especially on defense this past cycle in the transfer portal. But they have some really good depth right now, and I think right now they're moving kind of quietly. You see some programs that are showing everybody's that's coming on campus. I know that U of A has had some guys on campus, and they're just kind of waiting, trying to, you know, just be well positioned over the coming weeks of what that looks like. In terms of their high school recruiting, I think they're in a really good spot, and you can see the energy that they brought year one, year two, and the enthusiasm when really they didn't have a proof of concept to show, you know. They got some good guys coming off a 1-11 season. Now they have a 9-3, potentially 10-win season that they can come point to and say, hey, come check this out. So I think that they could be in on some flips. When you look at the in-state, quite a few guys that really jump out. They've recruited the state very well, starting with Demond Williams. He is a guy that, you know, we saw the maturation from when he was 14 years old. And Brad, you and I have been around long enough that, like, when you see a freshman do what he did at the varsity level, like, it stands out. And you know, you can tell when the players are special. And I think from the jump, Demond was special. But you saw him.
You know what I like about him in that story? Just let me cut you off for a second. Mm-hmm. It's when I had people on campus at Bash that said he rides his bike to school.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah.
I kind of think that's nice. That's sweet. And then he can flat out play. So, you know, they land him. Mm-hmm. They already have their quarterback in place. Are they taking another quarterback? Walk me through the rest of recruitment in state.
Yeah, I think in terms of where their quarterback room stands, they may try to bring in, you know, a guy with a little bit of experience for depth to be like the immediate backup. But I feel like their quarterback room is in pretty good shape, so I don't think they necessarily have to go do that. But then you have guys like Brandon Phelps, who, you know, is a record setting wide receiver and was over at ALA Gilbert North. Just very quietly first couple of years of his career over there, you know, very productive. And then junior, senior year, you see that maturation that I talked about with Demond, where all of a sudden he is like unguardable. And it, you know, doesn't matter the division. You know, I have a feeling if they were up in 6A up in the open, like, he would have torn people up too. So there's that. You know, you have the trio over at Apollo with Adam Muhammad and a couple of their linemen. So they've done a nice job just, you know, practicing what they preach in terms of like, hey, if you're a good player in Arizona, we're going to go after you. And, you know, I have a feeling a lot of these guys probably aren't going to see the field right away. But that also speaks to the work they've done in the transfer portal, where they don't necessarily need that. And, you know, you look at a guy like Tanner McLaughlin, who didn't start at U of A, but ended his career, you know, as the record setting, you know, in terms of receptions in a career as a tight end, you know, over Gronk. You know, he was a guy that, you know, it took a couple years for him to start to put it together, but now he did. You know, Jalen Harris, when he was at U of A, you saw once they were able to get their hands on him, that new coaching staff, like, he had a really productive career. So I think they're in a really good spot moving forward to make this more sustainable. And it's just like, yeah, we're going to just bring in quality every year, whether it's transfer portal, whether it's the young guys. And we have a track now that, you know, you can see that past guys have been on.
They flipped a wide receiver too that was ASU over Desert Mountain, right?
Yeah, Dylan Tapley. And it sounded like with Tapley, ASU wanted him as more of a safety. He was a two-way guy, and another guy as a sophomore, like, was an absolute stud. You know, what he said was he wanted to play more offense, and it sounds like U of A was better on that path. And he'd be a tight, depending on how big he gets, he'd be a tight end, wide receiver, kind of hybrid type guy. But it sounded like ASU wanted him for defense, where U of A wanted him more for offense.
Okay, one other question about the bowl game. They haven't had many players opt out. The one that did should have opted out, right?
Sure. Yep. Yeah, 100%. Jordan Morgan, he's slated to be a first-round guy, and he is a guy that stuck with the program when many probably would have jumped ship. But, and especially how his season ended last year with a torn ACL and how quickly he was able to get back. And he really didn't miss a beat this year. Like, he looked like that high quality offensive tackle. So I think it makes a lot of sense for him to forego that bowl game. He walked off the field on his rival's field, you know, waving the Block A flag after they, you know, dismantled ASU. I think that's a pretty good way for a U of A player to go out. So that was the right decision for him.
Okay, one other thought here, and you don't have to go too in depth, but do you expect Fafita McMillan to get pursued by bigger programs that are going to throw lots more cash in their direction? Or do you think, you know what, Brad, they're so solid there, nothing's going to happen with those two?
I'm sure that through back channels and things, yeah, they're getting pursued right now.
Yeah.
You know, I you don't put those type of numbers up. And, you know, for T-Mac, he was an All-American. Like, you don't, like, college coaches have to do that due diligence of just like, hey, I know you're tight with Jed, but is there something that could pry you away? Mm-hmm. Or, you know, again, reps talking on behalf or, you know, whatever it may be. It sounds like they're in a really good situation. But as we have learned time and again, you're committed to a program until you're not. And, you know, Devin Cambridge put out a Instagram that said, I'm coming back to ASU. And then all of a sudden he was going to Oregon, and now he's at Texas Tech. And unfortunately his season ended with an injury, but you know, kind of same goes, it sounded like Warren Washington was pretty well set up. So, you know, at ASU, and then he's at Texas Tech. So this happens all the time now. So I think if you are a FCS player and you have a good year, I'm sure you're going to get pursued to go up to FBS Power 5 level. If you are on a team like Arizona, maybe you're getting approached by the Blue Bloods. Again, all back channel type stuff, not direct, but I'm sure that is happening for players that have been as decorated and highly regarded as the ones we're talking about.
Okay, before I get you out of here, I do want to touch on ASU. I had you on earlier in the week, so I'm going to keep this part short. We talked about Levitt coming on board. Give me a feel about letter of intent day outside of that, in state, out of state, and how they've done.
Kenny Dillingham is logging the miles. I saw it was like he visited, I think, 4 recruits in 5 states in 36 hours, and one of them to kick it off was Hawaii. Mm-hmm. So he is going anywhere and everywhere, and it's transfer portal, it's high school. They've added a couple interior offensive linemen at the high school ranks, and a lot of Polynesian players. That seems to be more of an emphasis with this class. They will have Relique Brown, the speedster from USC. Like, that's the one thing they didn't have in their backfield last year. They had ground and pound guys, but they didn't quite have the game breaker. He is a game breaker, and they can move him to the slot, they can move him in the backfield. So he's visiting this weekend. They also have a couple transfer portal offensive linemen. They had a great weekend last weekend, adding a bunch of players. They didn't get any offensive linemen. And for those that watched ASU, you know, they need offensive linemen. And they need healthy offensive linemen. So I think that's going to be the target the next couple weeks is, can they get guys ideally who have logged some time at the college football level, but even if they're young, up and coming, talented players that they feel could be starter ready or at least contributor ready this year, I think those are the guys they're going to try to target. But those guys are, it's not a dime a dozen. Those guys are going to be highly sought after. NIL is going to be a factor. It's going to be a competition to try to get those guys on campus.
Yeah, I'll bring you back another time to talk about the NIL when this is all said and done, and just what schools were offering. I appreciate your time and insight as always. Thanks.
Yeah, of course.
There's Jordan Hamm, and we're back with more after this timeout. All right, as promised, before I get into it with Ralph Amsden on Dylan Raiola and other stuff, you have to go to Arizona Varsity. We've talked about Arizona Varsity through the years, and the people over there, their hiring practices are a little light when you let Zach Alvira behind a microphone, you know. Ralph and Chili, though, on the other hand, a little bit higher standard, and Ralph is with us now for a few minutes. What is your view on the Dylan Raiola situation as you and I sit here and speak on this? On my end, there's people in Nebraska saying it's done. He's going. He's not coming to Georgia. What are you hearing, Ralph?
I'm hearing a lot of the same. I got to say it's very confusing to watch. And I'll say this. Nobody asks to – well, plenty of people actually ask to be a 5-star number one player in the country. what comes along with it is quite strange and not anything that you can really prepare yourself for. And he has had that status for the last couple of years as one of, if not the best prospect in the country. And one thing you have to understand about prospect rankings is they are not reflective of how good of a high school football player you are. In fact, they have nothing to do with college football. Every year there are 32 five stars in America. And the whole point is these ranking services, whether it's Rivals 24/7 or On3, telling you that we believe that these 32 players will be first round picks 3 to 5 years from now.
Mm.
And so the idea of what star rankings actually are is it's not communicated very well. A four star is someone who's supposed to eventually be an NFL pick, probably start on a Power Five team. And a three star is like a college Power Five level player that could maybe start at a group of five school. So it doesn't have anything to do with how good you are in high school. Doesn't have anything to do with how good you'll be in college. It's more of a professional prospect ranking. And Dylan Raiola, by these recruiting services, has been called the eventual number one pick in the NFL draft 3 to 5 years from now. And that's a lot to live up to. And so the whole situation's been confusing, you know, what, four high schools in the last 28 months, potentially his third college commitment, and he has family at Nebraska, and obviously his father played at Nebraska, so there's some ties there. But the expectations on this kid, I feel like, are potentially setting him up for a rough go at the collegiate level if he's not in the right situation.
Yeah. Do you like star rankings? I don't myself, because I think it does put unneeded pressure. And there are people that I'll talk to, I'm sure you talk to the same ones. We just got to get that fourth star. We just got to get that fifth star. It's like, What does a kid want to do?
You know
what
I mean? Right.
What are you putting the thumbnail on this kid where, you know, they're only, or I'm being slept on. I only have one star or two stars. And I just think, Ralph, it's great to feed the beast of media, and that's a whole nother discussion. It's great to debate and argue, but is it really great to debate and argue over 16, 17, 18-year-olds? Like, I think Dylan Raiola is a very fine quarterback. Seems like a nice young man. You know him much better than I do. You've seen him play back east. You've seen him, and I have not. Is he feeling this pressure, or is it just kind of like, you know what? This is the deal. This is what I signed up for.
Okay, so there's a couple of questions in there. So as far as star rankings, I'm not a huge fan. I'm from Wyoming. I know what people talk like at a 4-H fair when they're trying to sell the fatted calf, right? I don't love when our kids are being talked about like they're cattle. I can't stand that. At the same time, nobody seems to complain that it's done in baseball, because these players are getting drafted directly out of high school, which means there has to be some sort of ranking or some sort of evaluation of, you know, what should we use a draft pick on this 17, 18 year old? You know, the same thing is being done with football players, but obviously there's a barrier of entry to being a professional. You have to be 3 years out of high school. So part of me is like, well, it gets done in these other sports. It just doesn't get talked about or poo-pooed as much because it's actually for the sake of being pulled in by your employer. And the other part of me is like, I know what it's like to talk about animals. And sometimes it sets us up to talk about human beings like they're animals. And I can't stand that part. As far as whether Dylan Raiola is feeling the pressure, I think absolutely. Chili flew out here. We watched Dylan Raiola, and Buford, which is the team he plays for in Georgia, won multiple state championships, didn't win this year. They came up to play Mallard Creek, which is sort of a middling North Carolina team. And they ended up winning that game 14-7. And Dylan Raiola was just under duress all game long, which is something that if you watched him at Chandler High School, same situation, right? He is mobile enough, but he is not a dual threat quarterback, which is really what you see have success at the collegiate level, is somebody that can, if they can't get out and run, they can at least move the pocket, help keep their own jersey clean. And I got to tell you, Brad, I've watched him face the expectations, lose to Basha twice, score 7 total points in those two games for a Chandler High team that's used to averaging over 40 and went back to it this year. with Heffron at quarterback, right? Watched him go out to Buford where they win championships without throwing the ball. Ashton Daniels was a quarterback out there who's out at Stanford now. They never really have to throw. They just run it. And they're so much bigger and more physical. But when you have the number one player in the country, you're going to want to showcase that arm. We ran into some of the same stuff that we had going on in Arizona, which is he's not mobile. Therefore, he gets hit a lot. Mm. They got knocked out of the playoffs, I believe, by Grayson a couple of weeks ago in the Georgia 7A playoffs. Dylan Raiola accounted for 83 net yards because he was negative 50 in the rushing category because he takes a lot of hits. And the reason it doesn't affect him physically at this level is he's the size of a tight end. But when everyone that's hitting you is the size of a tight end at the next level, that could be a lot of trouble. And I look at him potentially going to Nebraska. Brad, 34% of Nebraska's offensive yards last year produced by the quarterback were on the ground. Whether it was Jeff Sims or Chubba Purdy, they were running the ball. Dylan Raiola is not going to give you that ever. And so unless he's going to go make up for the 847 yards rushing that Nebraska had with his arm, which is never something he did at the high school level, then what we're going to see is somebody who has kind of a rude awakening when it comes to meeting the expectations of being the best high schooler on earth.
Yeah, it's well put on your part. I just have to sit here and wonder. I'm hearing his NIL ask is $1.5 million, and Nebraska is willing to meet it simply because Matt Rhule said a couple of weeks ago publicly that's what the going rate is, and that's what the Raiolas are asking for in Nebraska. Does this, Ralph, have anything to do with him looking at Georgia saying, I don't know? But no quarterback will ever say, yeah, I don't think I'm good enough there. No quarterback will ever do that. No athlete would ever, I am not good enough. Is there anything to that on this? Because he didn't, to your point, have great success, did not win a state title. Is Georgia just simply too much? I can go to Nebraska. I got family all around me. I got people on the staff. I'm going to get some pay. Is there something to that on this one?
I think that calling it fear is maybe a coping mechanism for fans, because you don't re-show up to Chandler High and say, I'm going to win this quarterback competition unless you have confidence in yourself. You don't go to Pinnacle where you are jumping into a quarterback competition with somebody who just led their team to the 6A state title game and is a year younger than you and threw for more yards than you did the previous year if you're afraid. You don't go to Buford, which is state championship after state championship after state championship at Georgia 7A, if you're afraid. You don't commit to Ohio State if you're afraid. You don't commit to Georgia if you're afraid. At the end of the day, it really doesn't feel like it's him making these decisions, though. It feels like he goes where he is put, which is something that we're seeing we're seeing increase at the collegiate level, where your adult son is still being moved around according to your wishes when they should be making the best possible decisions for them. And we're seeing that at Ohio State right now. They went 11-1, and Kyle McCord's dad pulls him out of the program. Sure. Right? We're seeing parental involvement over kids that should have flown the coop and should be learning some of these hard lessons themselves. I am all for protecting and shepherding your own, but at some point it gets to the point where you got to let them do some of this stuff on their own. And you have to wonder, in the case of Dylan Raiola, if he was the one making decisions, where would he be? What would he be doing? I don't think that we're going to know that, because this is a kid, right? And I don't think he goes to four high schools in 28 months and commits to three different colleges if he does flip to Nebraska on his own. Kids just want to play. Like they don't have these grandiose priorities and outlines for their lives and goals based on their prospect ranking. They just want to hang out with their friends, right? That's what they want.
It's like Chubba Purdy. You know, Chubba's going to walk this Saturday. He's going to get his diploma. And I believe if Dylan Raiola does go to Nebraska, he'll go in the portal, because there's no way that he's going to win that one with family and that NIL number and the connection. There's not a chance that he's going to win that one. And people will say, well, he's afraid to compete. No, he's not. This is a different world that we're in now politically, when it comes to the quarterback position, in my opinion. You have to look at how dot A was connected to dot B and how much NIL is there a player that's being paid. If Chubba Purdy is getting a few thousand dollars in NIL, and Dylan Raiola gets his $1.5 million, and he's got family members associated with the team. Like, forget it. That's not going to be a fair competition. I don't care who's going to try to talk me out of that. It's not. And for Chubba, maybe it's Boise State. Maybe it's San Diego State. Maybe it's Kansas State or Texas A&M because they still need quarterbacks. I don't know. But I think we're in a day and age now, Ralph, where the predictability of recruitment, especially for quarterbacks, I feel bad for high school quarterbacks. It's like, you need to just get on the field and play. And that's not going to happen. And every year they're going to pass you over.
Right. And we're finally starting to see some quarterback coaches and other people make the long awaited adjustment of just telling kids, go where you're wanted and where you're going to have the opportunity to play as early as possible. My podcast partner, George Reister, his son is an elite level quarterback. He's going to UC Davis.
Yeah.
He's going to UC Davis because that gives him the best opportunity to play right away. And that's what you should be after as a quarterback is reps, because you can't get this time back. You can't. You should go to a place where you feel like you have the best chance to compete, not go and sit somewhere for 2 years, have everybody forget what you're capable of, and then just hope there's something out there in the portal for you. You know, that can be really tough. And so I think we're finally getting to a point where people realize, oh, Josh Allen came out of Wyoming. Oh, Jay Cutler came out of Vanderbilt. Oh, Brock Purdy came out of Iowa State.
Carson Wentz.
Yeah, Carson Wentz, exactly. North Dakota State. Trey Lance as well.
Yeah.
So that should be the model, should be reps. It really should be reps. But that's tough when people are waving 7-8-figure checks around in your face.
You're right. But I also think there is the neighbor across the street's going to say, well, that kid, there's too much of who cares what the neighbor across the street says. I'll tell parents that. Well, this kid down the road, who cares what the kid down the road got? What does your kid want to do? Where does your kid want to go? Yeah, as you put it earlier, you can shepherd them, but once they get there, you know, commit to the school, not the coach. That was the old saying. Is that saying now it's commit to the dollar, right? And
right.
And we're seeing more of that, but I think if there's a kid that is watching this or a parent that's taking this in, there's nothing wrong with committing to Northern Arizona University, even though you may say, well, I'm a powerful, go up there and prove it. Because they understand their situation now. They know they're going to get kids, they're going to perform, and that the bigger programs are going to come in and say, okay, he's proving it there, come up here. It's AA and AAA baseball. No disrespect. That's right. What it is.
And I think that I think people need examples to buy into what you're saying. So I'm going to give you an example.
Sure.
University of Wyoming football, when the transfer portal became part of the language of how things go, they lost everybody. And I was like, oh, like we're a minor league team now because I root for University of Wyoming. That's where my mom went. That's where a couple of my uncles went. And I was like, we're going to get picked over every single year. We're never going to be successful again. And what I watched happen was University of Wyoming make a third consecutive bowl game for the first time in school history, even though every single year their good players end up at USC or Texas A&M or Arizona State with Xavier
Valade.
They end up all over the country. But guess what? The players that are at Wyoming know that if they go there and they show out, they're going to have another opportunity. It ended up being an incentive-based system that increased the level of success of the football team that I root for when I thought it was a death net, right? So what this is telling you right now is if you do bet on yourself and you go somewhere where you can play and you're right and you put in the effort and you respect the scheme and you get along with the coaches and you put in your time and you get out there on the field and you do something, it's going to help your team succeed and it's going to give you a better opportunity after you put in 2-3 years at that level. And it has also increased people's focus on getting as much academics done as possible to be able to have a free and clear transfer to not get caught up in some of the NCAA's confusing rules about when you can go and when you can't go. So what we're seeing is increased graduation rates, increased performance of certain group of five schools, and we're seeing a more democratic Power Five level where more teams have access to becoming elite in a shorter amount of time. 2 years ago, Baylor went from 2 wins to 12, and that was after their quarterback Charlie Brewer transferred out and went to Utah. We watched TCU go from 5-7 to 13-2, back down to 5-7 again. In this environment, it feels like everybody has hope, and so looking out for yourself might not be taking the highest dollar. It might be taking the most reps, getting an actual college football experience where everybody's rowing in the same direction, and then betting on yourself to cash in. And that's what I hope for some of our elite talent in the state of Arizona to realize, that you can go in. If you can play, you can play anywhere. And if you can play anywhere, you're going to get that opportunity to earn that money.
Yeah. Tonight, the Chargers are starting a quarterback from North Dakota State. So the NFL cannot find enough players at that position.
Right.
As the season progresses, you know, Sam Huard's over Cal Poly San Luis Obispo. I agree with you about, you got to let people know, our industry, that doesn't produce enough clicks and bandwidth and traction. That's why I love doing something like this, because I freaking don't care. These are the type of discussions that I think people need to hear. Ralph Amson's with us for a couple of minutes. Where can they find you and Reister together? You're doing your podcast. Where can they find
that? Well, we have a show for the last 4 years called the Pac-12 Apostles. There is no more Pac-12 anymore. And so one of the things that I do for George Reister is he's setting up his own like media entity on YouTube called The Unafraid Show. I edit his website. I help write scripts for his videos. And then we do this podcast together. Maybe it will become the College Football Apostles, but I'm also happy to just fade into the background and help push him into the stratosphere. Anybody else who needs help writing or doing anything else, I'm just happy to get reps, which is the same thing that I'm trying to impart to our kid, is just get reps, just be happy to be in the game. And right now I'm happy to be in the game, no matter what happens with our podcast or not. So in the meantime, happy to be hanging out on here with you, because Sports 360 AZ is my go-to for any Suns, any D-backs, especially any Arizona State stuff with your boy Jordan Hamm. So
yeah, we let anybody on here. I'm not meaning that towards you. I mean, Jordy. The Hamilton job from a distance.
Right.
So I'm looking at Brock Farrell and saying, man, he's done a great job at Highland. And he knows CUSD. Mm-hmm. And I look at Travis Dixon and say, okay, that's a kid that won a state title, knows the culture. I'm hearing all this. We got to get back to being Hamilton. And what do you think? What do you think should happen there? Who are some people they should chase?
Well, Hamilton is Hamilton regardless. Okay, they haven't won a championship in 11 years. It's still a 4,000-person school. 4,000. You can't build anything to the west of Hamilton because that's Sun Lakes. Mm-hmm. So you're not going to draw away from the student population to the west. There is nothing to the south. It's the res. You're not going to build anything to the south that's going to drain anything from them. And CUSD, believe that this is a good thing or not, has gone to extraordinarily great lengths to keep American Leadership Academy out of the city limits. Right. And so, you know, you're not going to have a lot of people pulling and drawing talent from Hamilton. That's why I think it's, as a Chandler alum, I still think Hamilton is the best job in the state of Arizona. You just need the right person or people involved. You have to find a way to bring the alumni back the way that some of these other schools do. And maybe Travis Dixon is the key to that. They would be betting on somebody very young who hasn't necessarily proven it in the coaching ranks yet, and having to elevate that application over some of the best names in the state or in the country for this job. The perfect person for Hamilton is just 4 miles away at Basha, but Chandler Unified School District is not going to rob Peter to pay Paul. That's not what they do. And so
Chris McDonald, for those who may not know.
Yeah. Yes. Chris McDonald was at Hamilton. He won tons of championships there as an assistant coach. And he's risen Basha to prominence, and he even had success out in Maricopa, where it's very, very hard to field a consistently good football team. So he would be perfect. But here's the deal. That's not how CUSD works. Do you go with an alumni? And I know a lot of people want Travis Dixon, but at the same time, when you see some of the names that apply, you know, when you look at Delatorre, who was at Highland where he hired Brock Farrell, maybe that's an opportunity for Brock Farrell to come into the CUSD and make his mark. You know, I know that Mark and Marcus Carter, if there's something to compete for, they're going to compete for it, period. And if it's the best job in the state, they're going to compete for that. And I think that's the type of energy that you need around your program. Now, is Hamilton ready for something that's different than your established coach? Like Bellis came from Mountain Ridge. Wren was already an established name. Zadebski at Walled Lake West in Michigan was already, you know, winning championships. you know, is Hamilton going to bet on somebody like Travis Dixon or on the Carter brothers? I don't know. But I tell you what, if Colin Thomas applies for this job or Aaron Flugrad applies for this job, how do you turn that level of offensive innovation down? Right. And so to me, it's the best job in the state. To me, I would not be surprised if anyone was in play for this job. Anyone.
Yeah.
I think they'll have their pick.
Yeah, I mean, Jason Jewell's name should be over there. Colin is telling people, from what I'm hearing, that he's not going to apply, but who knows? I mean, you can say that one day. Ralph, I think on that one, it's they have to not just be the head coach. They've got to have their JV and their varsity be so tied into youth football, and they've got to be in that space now. I don't like to use the term street agent, but I'm going to, where they know where the bodies are buried and how to navigate kids that are at certain parts of town. I hope Chandler Hovick has great success over at Cesar Chavez, but those kids coming around the mountain and finding their way to schools, that's a tough way to, you got to shut that gate lock. And that's almost impossible to do because there are people at the youth level that are tied into certain high schools. That's how it is. And I think if you go in an out of state, I like Zadepski as a person. I just thought it was a really weird hire, because he didn't have the infrastructure, in my opinion, in place to know what he was walking into on the youth level. Am I right or wrong on that?
No. It was a very interesting hire, because some of the problems that occurred prior to Zadebski's arrival really had to do with the swinging gate that was the freshman program and just bringing in whoever would help you the most in that scenario, and not having consistency in a plan of action. And I'll be honest, you know, I love Steve Bellis, and I think that, you know, he's paid his penance, and I look forward to him being part of the Arizona high school ecosystem again. But as coaches were starting to tweet out their college offers and which coaches came by, Bellis was taking his phone and he was taking pictures of his own computer screen. He would Google Arizona State logo, then he would take a picture with his phone, and then he would tweet out a picture of a picture saying, thanks, this college came by. Like, there were things that were happening in that program where it was like, oh, technology, society, culture is maybe moving a little bit too fast for Bellis to keep up with. And things definitely needed to change. And what Hamilton needs is somebody who understands what Hamilton is, while at the same time having a vision for what things could look like somewhere down the road. And I mean, I talked to a quarterback parent, an East Valley quarterback parent, for the very first time a couple of weeks ago, and they asked me, you know, where should I send my kid? Freshman year didn't work out. Yep. And, you know, and that's fascinating, because I'm living out here in North Carolina, where there are no open boundaries. You just go to your neighborhood school. Are there ways around that? Absolutely. Is there a huge private school situation where anytime a kid gets good, they can just come and pluck them off any other team? Yes, but the privates and publics don't play against each other, so it doesn't create that, you know, that situation where it could get the adults a little squirrely and salty. But, you know, so out here, you just go to the school in your neighborhood, and if you didn't play as a freshman, then you work harder or you go do something else. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, the thing with being a coach in East Valley is you have to not be heartbroken when somebody leaves, and you have to always have your door open to somebody coming in. But you also always have to convey that it's competition, competition, competition. If you want to come here to compete, fine, but not a single thing is guaranteed other than you'll have the opportunity to compete. So if you can get somebody in who is willing to play some of the political games and do the dance to make sure that the door is open to elite athletes from all over the East Valley, great. Because we have guys like Garrett Rand driving from Anthem to play for Hamilton every single day, which is insane, right? Yeah. But that's how much it meant at the time to be part of that Hamilton defensive line, which had five straight NFF Defensive Lineman of the Year award winners, from Shaq Jenkins all the way to Quaylen Cunningham, right?
Priest Willis yeah, coming around the hill to, you know,
yes.
We can have an all travel team, you know,
right.
Anthony Lucas at one point, you know,
yes.
But just keep going on and on here.
You got to be open to it, because the law is the law in the state of Arizona. But at the same time,
yeah,
if you don't foster that spirit of competition and give people a reason to stick around and give them measurable metrics on how they're getting better, so they don't just bounce the first time that they don't playing a game, you know, but you're not just dealing with kids, you're dealing with their parents, and their parents are going to do whatever they think is best. And parents are trying, you have to give them credit. They're trying. Are they making the best decisions? Are they looking 3 to 5 years down the road instead of just what's better for my kid next week? Maybe not, but they're, all you can do is try. You know how tough it is. I know how tough it is. I think the thing that sports media is missing, especially at the high school level, is there's not a lot of people covering high school sports because of the grind that it takes that also have kids. There's only a few of us out there, you know, like Jason Skoda, you know, bringing his kid to games while he was writing gamers, you know, not really, you know, having a choice, but to have to do that. Same with me, you know. Yeah, I think when you go at this as a parent, you realize how difficult some of the decisions that the parents are feel like they're being forced to make are. But at the same time, you just want to remind them that, like, your job isn't to raise a professional football player. Your job is to raise a functioning adult. The whole point is to get your kid to fly the coop. Birds have it right, right? Look at the birds. We just need to have functional adults. And if you're taking them out of every single situation that offers them roadblocks or adversity, you're not necessarily creating somebody who's going to be able to withstand the basic adversity that you face, you know, beyond age 25.
Well, it's like, and I'll wrap it here, but on my end, it's 20 years, 4 kids in CUSD. All the way back to when Frank Narducci was over at the junior high school. So I see stuff and just feel like I want to get on a stage. I brought you up on a stage once over Castile to talk about this stuff. You have to have more of these real hard conversations. Not everybody's going to agree. That's fine. And every situation is different. It could be a single parent, could be no parent in some cases. And how do we keep them moving forward and do it in a way where we don't run into that kid who's in their late 20s and 30s saying, I don't know what I'm doing with my life, because all I was a football kid. And I run into those kids. I'm sure you run into those kids. And that's hard.
Absolutely.
That's hard. I'll let you go off that.
Absolutely.
Appreciate you and Arizona Varsity and all the work you do. Again, why don't you plug where they can find you, Ralph?
ArizonaVarsity.com.
And with Reister.
Yes, and with George Reister, and I'm not in the state of Arizona anymore, but somehow because of people like you, I've stayed plugged in, and I'm very, very grateful for those opportunities.
See you soon. Thanks, Ralph Amsden. We're back with more after this timeout.